Good morning, everybody, or good
Officially.
evening, or good day, or whatever time it is. Welcome back to
It's late.
Dave.
It's
Yes,
very
Dave, it's
late.
very late. This
Very late.
is Hoops HD Championship Week Video Notebook, day number 11. The busiest day of Championship Week by far. Tons and tons of games to get to. This is our video notebook where we go over all the games, we go over news and notes, we update our survival board. What else do? We have a trivia contest at the end of the show.
It's rigged. It's rigged against me. And it's late.
It's late.
And it's late.
I'm your host, Chad
Well,
Sherwood. John Sleek is down there. David Griggs is over there. David, you got a
yes.
comment?
Well, a couple of comments. It's the greatest day of the greatest week. It always is every year because even more so than the NCAA tournament, because the NCAA tournament, as great as it is, it's the sheer bulk of games that you see on the Thursday of championship week. Well, what's now the second Thursday of championship week, but it's one of those days that when the season starts, you know it's going to be one of the greatest days, and today certainly lived up, and it's late.
And it's over. We just
Yeah.
lost one of the best days of the year, David. And
We
you're
did.
complaining about what time it is. You know,
Right. It
come on,
is. Well,
seriously.
it is late. I'm not complaining. I'm saying it's late.
Let's go into right to the action that happened today, and we'll start things off with the curtain.
Yes, the curtain. The curtain. Oh, boy. It's been incredible. It's been amazing. It's been the greatest part of the greatest day of the greatest week.
John, we also saw on one side of the curtain the one of the biggest upsets of championship week so far, as Middle Tennessee absolutely shot themselves in both feet, both arms, maybe in the head too, in terms of an NCAA tournament bid, losing to Southern Miss.
Yep, and it seemed like overtime just delayed the inevitable in this one, where I think Southern Miss led by as many as 5 or 6 points in regulation, but they were undeterred and more likely than not have drawn the curtain on Middle Tennessee's at-large chances here.
David, I think that's it for Middle Tennessee. Coming off the Marshall loss at the end of the regular season, then to throw this in there, I think they had they won the Marshall game, maybe they could still be there. It's going to be a stretch for them to get a bid at this point.
Right, it's not entirely impossible. I mean, maybe we'll see their name called. There have been worse picks. There's certainly some categorical stuff. There are RPIs in the 30s. They're a first place team. That's typically the kind of team that gets in. But they had played their way into such an incredibly favorable situation. I know that when you're in an under the radar league like they are, the cost of losing far outweighs the benefits of winning. But even despite that, they had the big, really impressive, one of the best games they've played all year in front of one of the greatest crowds they've had in years, win against Western Kentucky. And they had one game left. It was a home game against Marshall, who, while good by CUSA standards, is not an NCAA tournament caliber team. So you had a non-tournament team at home, and you had what amounted to a really, really weak opponent in your first conference tournament game, and you needed both were winnable. You looked like you were going to win both of them. You really needed to win one of them. That's all you needed to do to be in a situation where what you needed to accomplish seemed rather easy compared to everything else they'd done up to that point, and then not finish it off is really disappointing. And do you feel sorry for them? No, I'm disappointed. I wanted to see them in the tournament because I think that they're good, and I thought that they were certainly the team with the best chance to do well in it. But I mean, what would we, I mean, anybody that lost two games like that, you got to suddenly look at them as not being a tournament team.
Yeah, no, this is not a very, I mean, Southern Miss had improved off of what they've been in recent years, but still not that great of a team. Though great congrats to Doc Sadler and his squad moving on to face Marshall, who took care of San Antonio really easily. John, the other good game that was Old Dominion got a battle from Louisiana Tech, did pull it off on the B side of the curtain over there, and they get Western Kentucky tomorrow.
Yep, it would probably seem to be as good a chance as Jeff Jones has had since he took over at Old Dominion, at least as far as advancing to the title game and ultimately winning it. But if I'm not mistaken, they were also swept by Western Kentucky during the regular season, so they'll have a bit of an uphill climb still.
Well, Slicka, I think you need to get out that get out the wardrobe, because I'm taking Marshall to win this event at this point. David, you with me?
No, I'm going with Western Kentucky. I mean, they blew out UAB today. They have the sweep over Old Dominion. While they certainly had their toe stubs during the season, they had their really good moments too. I think they get it done, and I think if they do get to the NCAA tournament, they are potentially dangerous.
Right. Let's go back to the major conferences. We started with the current. We'll go to the major ones, then come back to some of the more under-the-radar ones. But it was quarterfinal day in the ACC where Virginia took care of Louisville. Clemson sweated out Boston College. Duke ended Notre Dame's season possibly, and North Carolina kind of blew up Miami. So we get the best four teams, not the top four seeds, but the best four seeds of the semis. David, let's start with the first question. Notre Dame and Louisville both losing. In or out at this point?
Louisville's on the fringe of the bubble, and it's one of those, I think, had they gotten one more win at any point, and they were so close. They were close with Purdue, Seton Hall, Virginia. Certainly. And many, many others. If they get one more at any point along the way, I think that they're a lot safer. Right now, I do think the committee will take them, but not necessarily. It'll be close. And if they do get in, they may not even get inside the first four. And who was the other team?
Oh, well, I'll ask John about that one. Notre Dame, John, in or out?
No. Notre Dame, I'm going to say out.
Out.
John, of the NCAA.
John, we got Virginia Clemson tomorrow, first of all. Can Clemson knock off the Hoos?
It's possible, but given how they've performed late in February, I'm going to say Virginia wins that one fairly comfortably.
I'd agree with that. And David, the late game tomorrow night in the ACC, you got some great facts about this one.
Yeah, I mean, they're meeting in the ACC tournament. They've met in the ACC tournament before. They meet twice during the regular season each and every year. Strangely enough, these two teams have never met in the NCAA tournament, Chad. Not once, as great as they are. And but it's a strong rivalry. The schools, they're just 8 miles apart.
Only 8 miles apart.
It's just kind of a shame that they can't find some neutral ground, like somewhere – equidistant from both of them to play.
Like 4 miles apart.
Yeah, that's 4 miles from both of them. You do the measurements. Do we know who has the advantage here, like Duke or North Carolina, as far as who's closer in proximity to the Barclays Center?
I think North Carolina's a little further north, if I'm correct.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, you got to give them the advantage there.
Well, if you're looking for a neutral site, you have to find somewhere between North Carolina and New Jersey.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. Who wins, David? North Carolina, Duke tomorrow?
North Carolina.
I agree with you. I think in Carolina, too.
Yeah.
John, was quarterfinal round day in the Big East tournament where your Musketeers took care of the Johnnies pretty easily?
I mean, it looked like it was going to be a bit of a close game for most of the first half, but with foul trouble piling up for the Johnnies, Xavier was able to pull away late and turned what was a close game into a 28-point blowout that's probably going to be more memorable for some of the dust-ups in the post-game handshake line and possibly a few St. John's players trying to meet up with Xavier in their locker room.
That's
I don't know if that's true or not, but I want the
old. Yeah, we do want to stress that's alleged.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it isn't true, but I want the old Big East, the Big East of the 80s and early 90s back. Please let it be true. Please.
David, Villanova took care of Marquette, but the other two games were both fun games. Providence and Creighton went overtime, and a huge win for Providence, which I think probably locked up their tournament spot. And Butler
getting
their
first
ever Big East tournament win, also probably locking up their tournament spot.
Yeah, for sure, if they weren't locked in already, but they definitely are now. Butler, Villanova, and Butler has been – they're a team that's given Villanova quite a bit of trouble in recent years, beat them once this year. Could they do it again tomorrow in advance to the championship game?
And it took a nice comeback from Butler to do this because they were down 14 in the first half, but they were able to gradually chip away and – didn't really hold the lead until the final minute of the regulation.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple of teams making nice comebacks. We talked about Carolina already. They went down 14-0 in their win over Miami today back in the ACC. But, yeah. David, what about the early game there, Xavier-Providence? Can I think the Friars can knock off Xavier too?
Well, they did it once already, but, I mean, it was on their home court, playing away from home, a little bit of a different animal. They can, but I don't think they will. Xavier, I think, also pretty much locks up a one seed, at least in my opinion, with a win tomorrow because – I mean, if they lose in the championship to Villanova, oh, well, it's just, you know, it's not like they haven't lost to Villanova already. I don't think it really changes the complexion of anything on their profile. And if they were to lose to Butler, well, they've beaten Butler twice. So why ding them for not doing a third for a third time what they've already done twice? I think Xavier locks themselves into the Midwest and Nova locks themselves into the East if they both win tomorrow.
I'm not 100% certain. I still think the Carolina-Duke winner, if they beat Virginia in the ACC, could steal a bit here. Could
not
be
from these two.
One of these two, or it's could steal one seed either for one of these two or Kansas is. And if Kansas wins the Big 12 tournament, I think it's going to be the loser of this game, who's especially if it's Xavier, that they may take that final spot from.
But I would say if it were an ACC team, it's going to be much more likely that Duke would snatch it than North Carolina would.
We'll see who wins tomorrow, because if I'm talking about somebody winning tomorrow between Duke, Carolina, and then beating Virginia on Saturday. I mean, those are two huge wins.
Yeah.
Big 12 today was quarterfinal day, and Oklahoma State fell to Kansas. K-State won a thriller over TCU. Texas Tech survived Texas, and West Virginia wasn't even that close against Baylor. But let's start with Oklahoma State, John. Oklahoma State, are they in or out at the moment?
I am going to say, if I had to do it personally, they would be my last team in, which would probably mean that teams that are still going to be playing have a decent shot of knocking out Oklahoma State.
This is where I differ. I mean, Oklahoma State, I know that they're not getting a lot of love in the media. A lot of it having to do with their non-conference strength of schedule, but they have four wins over teams that are going to be protected seeds. They beat Kansas twice, once on the road. They've beaten Texas Tech and West Virginia. West Virginia game was on the road. Those are all going to be top four seeds. On top of that, they have a couple other nice wins. I think they beat Florida State on a neutral court. And the problem is they've got a lot of loss. They got a lot of overall losses. Every single loss was to a team that's going to probably be in the NCAA tournament. And they've got a lot of wins over 300, 320 teams. They played those same games against 220 RPI teams. Their RPI would be 30 points higher, and they'd be a lock right now. So you're going to leave this team out because the teams that they ended up playing in their garbage part of their schedule were RPI 320 instead of RPI 220, David?
Well, I wouldn't, but I do think that there's something, even if it's subconscious, about an RPI as poor as theirs. I think they should be in. I certainly think our committee is going to take them. We'll show you that here in a little bit. But I don't know if the actual committee will. And it just gets down to how much are they using the survival board. We'll also get to that later.
Yeah. Texas and Baylor, both of their losses today, still both teams that are not comfortably in at this point. I think they both will make it. There's a lot of people that don't think Baylor will. There's some people that don't think Texas will. So a few things to be found out here in the next few days on those two teams as well. Let's go to the SEC, where it was second round day, and we had a thriller between A&M and Alabama.
Yeah, we did, and it keeps Alabama's season alive. Without that win, I think they'd be done. I don't know if they're in yet. They're probably not, but they're still playing. And, wow, what a matchup they have tomorrow. It's a rivalry game in a game that they really need to win. So it's important on paper, off paper, and it could make the difference as to whether they're going to the NIT or the NCAA.
Yeah, and then Georgia knocks off Missouri. Michael Porter does play fairly unimpressive in his first game back, and now his next game will be in the NCAA tournament, presumably. John, anything you took away from that?
My guess is Missouri might be looking at an 8-9 game or maybe 7-10 as a 10 seed, because this almost felt like a home loss of sorts for Missouri, given that they were playing just down the road from their campus.
Yeah. The games coming up tomorrow, David, the night games are Tennessee, Mississippi State, Florida, Arkansas. We also got the Kentucky, Georgia, the Auburn, Alabama game. What do you see happening tomorrow? Any upsets here?
Potentially. Auburn kind of sputtered down the stretch. I mean, they should be jacked for the game tomorrow, but they haven't been quite the same in the last couple weeks, I think, dealing with injuries and whatnot. So it wouldn't shock me if Alabama won again tomorrow. And also, sometimes when you win a game in the way that they did, and you have a quick turnaround, the momentum can really carry you. Other than that, I think of the teams that are playing tomorrow, I think Georgia and Mississippi State are playing to keep their seasons alive, at least as far as the NCAA tournament goes. Everybody else is relatively safe.
Keep an eye on that Kentucky-Georgia game. I would not be shocked to see Georgia pull off that upset.
I think they also gave them a pretty close game at our Rupp Arena back in January, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
They do. They're very strong defensive teams, one of the best defensive teams in the SEC, despite that 12th place finish. Pac-12, it was quarterfinal day where Arizona ended Colorado's season, UCLA ended Stanford's season, except for possible NIT bids. Really, the only close game, though, was that Oregon-Utah game, though, David, the one we just finished watching.
Yeah, kind of a boring day in the Pac-12 until the end. Big win for UCLA, not that beating Stanford is impressive, but it was in the sense that they avoid a loss to a non-tournament team, which is, I think, all they really needed to do to make the tournament themselves. Sets up what I hope is another one-second timeout game tomorrow against Arizona. I don't care who calls it. It's just at the end of the game, I want the team that's ahead to call timeout with 1 second left. And then Oregon looking good in the tournament so far. You know, real impressive win over Wazoo, and they follow it up with another real impressive win over Utah. And if they can beat UC by 4 points, they will have matched the overall their overall margin of victory in both games.
Yep, Oregon-USC is the late game tomorrow night. Arizona-UCLA, the early one. John, yeah. Over in the American, we had four thrilling games. I don't know.
The thing is, one of the games that was thrilling probably shouldn't have been, and that would be Memphis beating South Florida.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Talk more about tomorrow's matchups here. Do you see anything crazy happening with the top three seeds who are all – probably her all look like locks for the NCAA tournament? Could Houston, Wichita, or Cincinnati fall tomorrow?
I don't think Houston's going to have to worry about a home court disadvantage if you've seen some of the crowds in the American. I mean, granted, it will be in Central Florida's backyard, but I would also watch out for Wichita State and Temple under normal circumstances, but not the way Temple has been closing out their season. So I'm going to say it's actually going to be more chalky tomorrow.
Yeah, David, I kind of agree with that. I mean, the Tulsa-Memphis game might be a good game, fairly meaningless, but I think I see chalk happening tomorrow.
I agree with that, too.
Okay. Mountain West, it was quarterfinal day, and we saw Nevada have to sweat out Vegas a ton to get by them.
Yeah, I actually had to overcome a lead in the second half by Vegas. Yesterday we were picking UNLV to win this game. So
We did pick San Diego State to win. They did. And Boise State ended any fringe tournament hopes they had, Jerry Palm, by losing to Utah.
I think so. Well, I don't think they had any without winning the tournament anyway, so I certainly haven't changed my mind after a loss to Utah State.
Tomorrow's games, John, Nevada, San Diego State, Utah State, New Mexico. You see either of the lower seeds winning?
I know it's tempting to say San Diego State, given how they've been able to beat Nevada and Boise, but unfortunately it's going to actually be closer to Nevada's turf this time around, so I'm going to say Nevada, and I'll take Paul Weir's bunch in the bottom half of the bracket to advance to the title game.
Well, you got one right. But San Diego State's winning tomorrow, David, right?
I think they're winning the whole tournament.
Yeah, I agree, and I think this is going to be a bid stealer, if you want to call it one of those, because Nevada will still get in no matter what.
Right.
Atlantic 10. We saw a second round day in the A-10. VCU Dayton gave us a pretty good game, David.
Yeah, it was. VCU getting the win, ending Dayton's season. A real disappointing season for Dayton. I mean, we knew that they were rebuilding. We were kind of patient with them. But Anthony Grant, not a great coach, but at the very least a decent coach. He never had a year like this at Alabama, never really had a year like this at VCU to where they were as bad as what Dayton was. And it's kind of surprising. A year ago, Dayton was ranked in the top half of the bracket and in really kind of riding the end at the end of a four-year stretch. And now they're nowhere near any sort of postseason tournament and not showing a whole lot of hope for the future, really.
Yeah, John, looking at tomorrow's games, Rhode Island, VCU, St. Joe's, George Mason, the Bonnies against Richmond, Davidson, St. Louis. I mean, first of all, those top two teams, the two that people are talking about as NCAA tournament, at least possible teams, do you see either one of them falling?
I would say Rhode Island. They'll probably survive against VCU, but I would probably watch out for both St. Bonaventure and Davidson, because I would say Richmond and St. Louis, they do have histories of pulling off one or two shockers in this event, but St. Bonnie cannot afford any more slip-ups.
No, St. Bonnie's cannot afford to lose that game to Richmond. I don't know that St. Louis is going to be Davidson. I kind of like this Davidson team. They score a ton. They're a fun team to watch. And David, I think kind of circle coming up Saturday, Rhode Island, St. Joe's. Remember what St. Joe's did to Rhodey just last week?
That's
where they're going to be in big trouble.
Right. And,
if
Joe's wins this tournament, as far as I could see, yeah, the Bonnies need to win tomorrow. And if they do, I think the real selection committee will take them. I don't really agree with that. In fact, it wouldn't shock me if they didn't win tomorrow. I think they will, but it wouldn't shock me if they didn't. But if someone other than those two wins, does the A-10 get three, as pitiful as it's been?
If it's something like Joe's beats the Bonnies in the finals, I mean, I don't know. It's that would be the snare you probably need to get three. I think that if Bonnies don't win this bid, if somebody else besides, say, Bonaventure or Rhode Island wins this bid, Bonnies are the team that probably gets knocked out, even though they say it doesn't work that way. I think it would work that way.
Yeah.
It was also quarterfinal day in the Mid-American, where Buffalo beat Central Michigan, Kent State knocked out Ball State, Toledo with a close one over Miami, Eastern Michigan also advancing. Actually, that was a real close one with Akron. They scored the last nine straight points to make that difference there. But Dave, we got some great semifinals tomorrow. I think that should be a ton of fun here.
Yeah, all of them, really. Buffalo, again, the strongest team in the league this year, but Kent State could give them fits. I still think Buffalo gets it done, but Toledo Eastern Michigan is going to be fun.
Yeah, John, do you have a pick for that on Toledo Eastern Michigan?
I think for that one, I'll probably go with Eastern, but it's also possible that Kent State, as the defending champ, could pull off a mild surprise against Buffalo, but I think the Bulls already got through their brief scare against Central Michigan before pulling away in that one.
Yeah, quick little PSA here. If you're looking for that late game, go to cbssports.com. It will be streamed. It will not be televised, and it will not be on ESPN3. It will be cbssports.com for Toledo Eastern Michigan tomorrow night. Big Sky Conference quarterfinal day.
Jam-packed at Reno.
There were all 15 people that showed up for these games, got entertained with absolute garbage games. Even that last one was a late run by Portland State to make it close when it really wasn't that close. But Southern Utah, we picked, John and I both picked
last night. I called it. I told you all.
You laughed at us.
No, I didn't. I was laughing about something else. I called this.
John, Thunderbirds, can we go one more? Can we take out Eastern Washington?
I would not be doubling down on Southern Utah, but Eastern Washington, I know they struggled to put Portland State away, but I have to like how they've been closing the season themselves. But yeah, Northern Colorado also looked pretty impressive against Weber State today.
Northern Colorado, I think, could give Montana a scare. I think Southern Utah's probably out of gas here. They are not a very deep team. They've got a couple of really good players, and having to play back-to-back days is going to hurt. David, what do you think?
I agree with that. I think Montana gets it done.
I think Montana gets it done. Okay. Southland Conference. We had the two quarterfinal round games, and we proved that the first round games on Wednesday were meaningless because the higher-seeded teams both rolled today.
Yeah. As you would expect, really looking for, well, both semifinal games is going to be kind of fun. Nicholls State kind of coming out of nowhere. Sela, our man Rocco has been big on them since any of us were getting the one seed. I think that it's going to be Sela in the finals against SFA.
I'm going Nicholls. Go Colonels.
And that's going to be a good game. It really is.
That should be fun. That Nicholls State's a real fun team to watch. If you haven't seen them at all this season, tune into that one 8:30 tomorrow night. Let's talk about the upset specials here in the MEAC, where the Savannah State Tigers, we were trying to say, one of the saddest results of the day, they lost in their quarterfinal to NC Central.
Yeah, and Cookman going down. So what we have here is, well, Hampton going strong. They don't reseed, so the winner of NCAA Hampton, you would think, would roll through. Morgan State's had a rather tumultuous couple of weeks, but they're still kicking.
We said that almost anybody could win this tournament. I still got to kind of pull now for A&T. This is a team that almost won our centenary award. They came in second last year, possibly the worst team in D1. John, here they are, two wins away from the NCAA tournament.
It's possible, but there's also the storyline about Hampton, who's going to be involved in a tumultuous exit from the MEAC themselves. So there's still the chance for them to walk off with a title over the next couple days.
And the Palsies, if it's Hampton and Morgan State in the final.
Big West Conference. We actually saw a lot of really fun games here. UC Irvine held off a last second shot by Hawaii to try to steal that game. Fullerton stuck by Long Beach in a game they were down for most of that game, and Davis even got a battle from Riverside.
I mean, at no point were they in command of that game. They just kind of held on.
And John, here's the semifinals for tomorrow. Davis against Fullerton, Santa Barbara against Irvine. Is anybody's tournament at this point with these four teams?
I'll probably go with a pair of UC schools and Davis and Irvine making it to the title game.
I don't know, David. I just think that both these games could go either way.
I'm kind of with you. I mean, I think it's kind of a coin flip the rest of the way. I mean, any four of these teams can win this.
But I have to go for a divine matchup here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
We're doing it again. We're doing it again.
I kind of got with you, John, in the divine matchup. Irvine, you know, Santa Barbara has a very short bench, if any bench at all. I think playing three games in 3 days is going to be rough for them. So I like that. I like the Davis-Irvine, the divine matchup. Yeah. A couple of years ago, the Grand Canyon Antelopes were our team of the people. Today, they got their first ever WAC tournament game, David.
Yeah.
Struggled, but the Lopes won.
They did, and it wasn't easy. and again, they had a huge contingent of fans at this game, and they're sweating out a team that you'd have thought they would have just run away from. Doesn't get any easier tomorrow against a really good Utah Valley team. New Mexico State, no trouble, and we didn't think there would be any in their game. So the chalk holding, and we thought the semifinals would be good if it did. And I'm looking forward to both these tomorrow.
I have a feeling New Mexico State might roll Seattle also. They got revenge on the mind after Seattle beat them earlier in the year. But I think the Utah Valley Grand Canyon game could be one of the better games of the day.
Yeah.
John, we are back in action tomorrow night in the Sun Belt after a day off today. It is quarterfinal round day. Louisiana, Texas State, Georgia State, Troy, Georgia Southern, Louisiana, Monroe, and Texas Arlington playing to be determined. What do you – oh, playing –
that's the other problem with Texas Arlington is because they've also been a disappointment, and they're another team that you can't rely on to win games in the Sun Belt. So there's a good chance App State may be moving on, but I don't think they'll be able to get beyond Louisiana.
I like the bottom of this bracket better. I think that Georgia State, Georgia Southern will roll David. I could see an upset, especially I could see upsets on the top of the bracket. I'm still not sold on this Louisiana team.
I'm not either, but I don't think they're going to have any trouble with Texas State.
Right, well, we'll see. Back action tomorrow, also in the SWAC.
Well, so we're told. It's not on television.
It's not on TV. This is TBA. TBA means go to Houston if you want to see the game. But Pine Bluff Southern, Prairie View Texas Southern, the winners of these games will play on Saturday. And even though it's not on the screen there, the winner of that Saturday game, my understanding at least, was they're going to be going up against Grambling, who received a waiver to play in the NCAA tournament. Am I correct?
Yes. Well, I mean, one was filed, and we're just waiting. Well, no, we're not waiting. I mean, they didn't say it wasn't accepted, so I'm assuming it was.
Well, wait, David, didn't you get the paperwork saying it was accepted?
No, I don't think they send that out. I think they just tell you if it wasn't. I mean, wouldn't they have told us if it wasn't accepted? You'd think they'd tell you if you weren't eligible for the tournament.
Well, are we certain that we're going to play a game Sunday? It's not even on the screen today.
Well, why'd you take it off?
John, did you take it off?
Nope, I haven't touched the bracket.
Well, we got a little problem here, David. We're going to look into this more tomorrow night. In fact, my understanding is there is an emergent waiver application phone number we could call to confirm things.
Maybe we should call them.
Maybe we should be calling them. We better take care of this tomorrow night before.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if they're not back on the bracket, we'll give them a call.
Okay. We'll double check tomorrow. But how about these games tomorrow, though? The what would actually be the quarterfinal round game in the way that we're looking.
Quarterfinals.
Who do you think wins?
I'm going to go with Texas Southern because I know they've been kind of disappointing this year, but I just think they have the highest ceiling and Pine Bluff.
I think it was Southern Texas Southern. I think this was the final last year also. It seems to always be the final.
Right.
Gonna happen again. Let's go ahead and pull that down. And we do have one other game that we do want to preview for tomorrow. Believe it or not, maybe not.
Team of the people.
Yep.
Here it is. This is the bottom half of the D2 bracket showing up on the screen here, I think. And there is the bottom corner. 3:00 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, out in Oregon, because Western Oregon is hosting this regional here, 8-team regional. Cal Baptist against UC San Diego. UC San Diego on their way up to D1 2 years now. So,
So it's virtually a D1 game. It's NCAA tournaments don't.
So after they win that one, they will get a potential rematch with Dixie State, who upset them in the championship game of the Pac West tournament.
It was just a ploy. I mean, that's the genius of Cal Baptist.
Even with an upset, they would also be getting a rematch with a fellow conference rival, Azusa Pacific.
Yeah,
one of those two. So we will see what happens. We'll talk about their big win tomorrow night and their preview their game, their second round game against potentially Dixie State or Azusa Pacific. Let's see. Do we want to talk about what happened in our mock committee today? How about that, John? I'll put it on the screen here also. You could tell us what happened.
Well, in short order, we had 8 new teams that were voted into the field after we did a little bit of scrubbing earlier.
Yeah. We put some teams on the chopping block. Boise State gone. All of the one bid or the under the radar first place teams gone, with the exception of Middle Tennessee. Still looking at them, but
mixed up here. But the teams that we added in tonight were going to be Butler, Florida State, Houston, Kansas State, Missouri. I think who else? Providence we added.
And yep. Texas was added also. You see Texas in bold there on the screen. They were the very last team that is in so far. A few other explanations of what you see here. We see ACC, Big East, Big 12, plus 1, plus 2, plus 3. Everybody left that's playing in those three conference tournaments is already in our field, so we know at least 3 spots will open up as the winner of that conference tournament will move over to the automatic bids section. You see Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, St. Bonaventure, and UCLA. those were the top four teams remaining that we were considering putting in. They are not in yet. They might go in tomorrow night. They might not. We'll find out. And we had a huge debate. We normally on the first night, on Thursday nights, award our centenary award. And
yes,
it's still undecided. We have one committee member who has voted.
And he has voted. He has voted for Delaware State.
We have three votes as we stand right now for Delaware State. We have four votes as we stand right now for the Pittsburgh Panthers.
Which is flawed because Pitt beat Delaware State during the season that closes it.
By six at home, which is as bad, if not worse, than losing.
No.
Yes.
No, it isn't.
Pitt sucked this year. They sucked. I'm sorry. They didn't were have the
quadrant
worst.
Four losses. This would be an egregious error to give this to Pitt and not Delaware State.
Well, we'll see here. We're going to find out. Hopefully by tomorrow night, we will have the centenary award decided. Maybe we'll even have a joint award. Maybe it'll be a tie. Who knows?
Hey, there's no rule against it that I know of.
Might have two centenary winners this year. We'll find out. How about the survival board? Where are we on that?
Oh, it was a busy day. So, yeah, let's
heading
pull it
into
up.
The day, 172 teams that were left with a chance to win the national championship. One of our busiest days yet. Should we just get right to it? Let's find how many teams are left, John.
Yep, if we have a drum roll ready to go.
Oh, let me give us a drum roll here. I think I can do that even.
So we're down the one.
There it is, 130 teams left. 42 teams fell off the board today. Some teams got locked up. Some teams got knocked off. David, want a little explanation here of why we do this?
Well, we do it to help the selection committee. They're busy all year long. They're in the hotel room right now. They're probably sleeping, actually. I mean, which is okay because we're up. We're doing the work for them. It's late. They need to be asleep. But this board is a resource for them. It's available to them in the committee room. People have questioned me when I say that. They're like, we've never heard of such thing. Well, no, it's in there. They have computers. They have the internet. So this is available to them, is it not?
This board. Is. And we've got teams at different demarcations here. Bold and all caps like Radford and Michigan have already locked up automatic bids.
Yeah.
Bold and regular type, not all caps, is a team that is a lock. So if they are sitting there, John, and they're saying, should we put West Virginia in or not? Do we need to spend a couple hours debating that? We just saved them a couple hours.
Yeah, we did.
West Virginia.
Each and every team, yes.
We don't need to debate West Virginia, but we do need to debate teams like Baylor, Oklahoma, and particularly Oklahoma State among our committee.
Yeah, yes, and this is where it gets challenging. Wouldn't you say that that's the hardest piece of this for them? Because it's not done for them.
Yeah, no, they still got to do some work. Those teams in italics, they got to debate. But when they get to a team that's a normal type, you look at Montana. Should we spend 2 hours debating whether or not Montana gets an at-large bid?
Yeah,
they're in regular.
You don't need to. Yeah,
that they might still get in. You might have to talk about them when they get in, and we'll make them null caps if they get in. But no other conversations needed about Montana at this point.
Yeah.
And what if what if somebody in this committee room says, "Hey, I remember there's a team named DePaul. They won a couple games this year. Should we talk about them?"
Well, no. I mean, because they're not even on the board anymore.
Right.
Like, you know, they were eliminated yesterday, I think it was. So, no, there's no reason to talk about them at all. There's no reason to discuss them. They're not going to win the automatic bid, and they're not going to get in at large because they're not even on the board. There's only 130 teams left on the board. So we're whittling it down for them.
Well, David, what if one of them said, well, I looked at a guy like Jerry Palm. He said Boise State's close to being in the field.
Well, then you don't need to worry. Well, and again, this is what they do. This is why we do what we do to help the committee out. All they need to do is they need to come to this website, which is available to them in the committee room. They look down at the Mountain West, and they see Boise isn't there, and then they know not to take Boise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not even give them an italics. There's no way Boise State belongs in the field.
Right, yeah.
I guess, David, are we done with everything, or do we have one more topic to hit?
Well, we have the trivia question, which I have gotten every single one of them right.
Well, David,
I would like to add, but you keep saying that I'm wrong. Your answers are clearly wrong. I mean, blatantly false answers that David, we've had David, all throughout championship week.
Here's the way it works. We have a trivia contest. What we've been doing every night is our panel of Hoops HD experts has put together a question that we have read
experts
on the air.
Experts are complete morons.
Ask David if David can give us the answer that's in the envelope here. He gets out of the puppet bunker, and he gets free. He can eat. He can take a shower, which I don't think he's done. Who knows what else he hasn't done in there? I don't know.
I really don't like it in the puppet bunker, but these are stupid questions.
But David, I decided tonight that we should switch things up a little bit because you're having so much trouble answering these questions. I'm going to change things up. I changed the rules on you. I'm going to ask the question, but I'm going to ask it to John. And I'm going to have John give the answer. If John gives the right answer, we're going to let you out because you cannot get these answers. You've been awful at them. I'm helping you out here, David.
Oh, gee, thanks.
John, the trivia question. North Carolina, they'll be playing tomorrow against Duke, 8 miles apart. North Carolina plays its home games in an arena commonly known as the Dean Dome. Name the former North Carolina head coach whom the building is named after.
It's Dean Smith, John. It's Dean Smith. Dean Smith. John, that's the right answer.
John, you're answering.
John. I am going to go ahead and say it's actually going to be his protege, Bill Guthridge.
Oh, my God. No, that's not the right answer, John. It's Dean Bill Smith. John, it's Bill Dean Guthridge. Smith.
The correct answer is...
John, it was Dean Smith.
The Dean Dome is obviously named after James Dean.
Oh, no, it wasn't. It was not. It was Dean Smith. Everybody knows that.
Everybody knows it was named after James Dean. I mean, one of the great actors died young. I mean, what a great American rebel without a cause. John, what do you think?
I thought it was named after the breakfast sausages.
Jimmy Dean. Bob Evans, who knows? David, sorry, it's another night in the puppet bunker. I tried to help you out by getting John's help. Maybe tomorrow night. But on that note, let's go to any final thoughts. John, you want to start us off?
Well, while most of the, mid-major fans are probably a little sad about Middle Tennessee losing tonight, one conference that is going to be celebrating big time is the Big Ten because they've had Michigan State and Minnesota become upset victims to the Blue Raiders in recent years, but that is not going to be the case for 2018. We don't think.
They could still be in. They're still on our board, at least for now. David, what about you?
Because I'm stuck in here, I figure why not just do this.
I don't even know what to say anymore, other than on behalf of David Griggs, John Stalika, Chad Sherwood, we'll be back again tomorrow night if we're still alive and sober, and we'll get the Grambling Waiver
James
situation
Dean
right away.
Is not named, it's not named after
yes,
James
Dean.
It's not named after James
Dean. American icons. Have a great night, everybody.